back to you guys. One of the most beautiful and humbling things that we go through in life is getting married, I think. And I'm saying it's beautiful because, I mean, not just because my wife is right here and I don't want to have a fun conversation when we get home, but it's beautiful, right? And it's humbling because I think we see how selfish we are when we have to put the needs of someone else before our needs, as we do in marriage. And then I think that humbling experience is exponentially bigger when you have children, when we have kids. I remember when we had our first child, when we had Caleb, and I remember holding him for the first time, and just that realization that I have no idea what to do with this kid who's completely dependent on me. Okay, Naomi too, I guess she played a part. And I remember, you know, he was born in November. It was a very cold November. And 4 days after, we had him, we decided to go to Orange Circle on a very cold night. We didn't put his diaper on right. He leaked everywhere. He became a little icicle, the poor guy, because we were outdoors, you know, as new parents would do. We also took our kids caroling and left one of our daughters at one of the houses that we were caroling at, you know. So you realize pretty quickly that, you know, man, you need family, you need grandparents, you need aunts and uncles, right? But more than anything, you need God, right? When you're a parent, when you have children, you need God to provide. Because without God, my little boy would have been an icicle. My little daughter would have been living with a different family somewhere. And, you know, like we could go on and on. So this morning, because we have this celebration, as we have these two families that are bringing their children to be blessed by God, I want to speak a little bit about how God provides for us, God's provision for us. And that's the title of my message this morning. It's God's provision for you. The passage is from John chapter 21, verses 9 through 11. If you want to open up your Bibles to John chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And it's a passage that we know. It's the third appearance of Jesus to the disciples. They're in Galilee. They are, you know, just waiting for the Lord. And after waiting for a little bit, we see Peter. He decides to go fishing. He says, "That's it. I'm done. I'm going fishing." And the other disciples, there were seven of them, they say, "We're going to go with you too." And we know the story. They go fishing and they're there all night. They're working, they're struggling, and they don't catch anything. And as they're coming back to shore towards the morning, they see Jesus. They don't realize that it's him, but Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Did you catch any fish?" They say, "No, we didn't catch any fish." He says, "Okay, throw your net on the right side." They listen, they throw the net, and they catch a whole, you know, big batch of fish, 153 of them. And they realize that it's Jesus. And Peter being Peter, he just dives into the water. He doesn't even wait for the boat to get to shore. He dives in, swims to the shore. And there's Jesus waiting for them. And that's where we pick up in verse 9, where it says, "When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish lying on it and bread. 'Bring some of the fish you have just caught,' Jesus said to them. So Simon Peter climbed up and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn." So the first thing that I want to share with you this morning is that God provides before we know to ask. So again, thank goodness Caleb didn't freeze 7 years ago, because now what he's started doing, whenever there's like a special occasion, like Mother's Day, Father's Day, or birthday, he loves getting up early in the morning and he goes down and he makes breakfast for us. Like he gets whatever he can find, you know, muffins and yogurt and fruit. And that's just his way of showing love. Nobody asks him to do it. He just goes and he does it. And it's such a beautiful thing when you wake up and you come downstairs and you see this table already set, already prepared for you from somebody who loves you. And this is what the disciples encounter as they draw near to the shore. They see that Jesus, after this long night, after they were struggling, after they were frustrated, after they couldn't catch any fish, they see that Jesus is already there, that Jesus is already aware of their situation, and that Jesus is already providing for them. Praise God for that. Amen. And what I see here is that they didn't ask for help. They didn't need to even say a thing before Jesus provided for them. And we have this other example in Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41, where, the disciples are in the boat with Jesus, and there's this big storm, and there's, it's windy, and there's waves, and the water's getting into the boat, and they actually think they're going to die. So they go to Jesus, who's sleeping in the boat, and they say, "Master, wake up, don't do something. Don't you care that we're gonna die?" But in this example, in this situation, there was no asking, there was no praying, there was no them going to the Lord and saying, "Lord, look what we did, look what we went through, look at our struggle, look at what we, look at what we couldn't do." They didn't even have to ask for help. And Jesus is already aware of their situation. Jesus already knows. Jesus is already waiting for them. Jesus is already tending to their needs. And I want to share this example with you from Ephesians. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, where the Bible speaks about the armor of God. We know that passage, right? And it says, put on the full armor of God. We're instructed by God to put on the full armor of God. And why? He says, so that, this is the reason why he says, put on the full armor of God. So that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. So I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but, I think most of us Christians, we go through life thinking that the devil is somebody that you run into accidentally, like if you go to the bad part of town, you might run into the devil, right? But not on Sunday morning, not when you go to church, or not, when you're at work, not on a regular day-to-day basis, right? But the devil is not somebody that we run into. The Bible says that the devil is actively scheming against you. Actively scheming against your family. He's actively thinking about you and how to destroy you, how to bring you down, how to destroy your faith, how to cause you to sin. He's actually actively coming up with plans of how to attack you. And even though you might not be thinking of the devil is thinking about you, brothers and sisters. That's the reality. He's aware and intent on destroying you and destroying your family. And so that's why God says that in order to stand against these schemes, against these plans that the devil has against us, we are to put on the armor of God. First, we're supposed to put on the armor. Second, we're supposed to put on the full armor of God, not, pick and choose pieces over here. I'm going to go with the helmet, I'm going to take the sword, but I'm going to leave the sandals and the breastplate. No, he says, put on the full armor of God. And then later on in that passage in verse 18, it says, pray at all times. Pray at all times in the Spirit with every prayer and request. And he says, and stay alert with all perseverance and intercession. So he's saying, Christian, father, mother, if you want to be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, you need to be putting on the armor of God every single day. More than that, you need to be praying constantly. More than that, you need to be alert. More than that, you need to persevere. But here's my question. How many of you put on the armor of God this morning? How many of us did that? How many of us do that on a consistent basis? And I think if we're honest with ourselves, you know, I'm not blaming anybody here, but I'm speaking to myself as well. I think if we're honest, we probably miss a few days or weeks or months or, right? And yet, God is still good to us, brothers and sisters. God is still protecting us. Even when we are faithless, even when we lack the faith to follow through on God, what God tells us to do, God is still actively defending and fighting on our behalf, brothers and sisters. The reason why we are here, the reason why our children are alive and healthy, the reason why we're able to put food on the table is not because we did something to earn the favor and the goodness of God towards us. It's because God is good. It's because God loves us. And it's because God loves to provide for his sons and daughters, for his children. Praise God for that. Amen? And I think many, many, many Christians, we often think that we have to convince God to be good. We have to remind God to be good, like as if God forgets. As if we need to beg him enough so that God finally relents and says, okay, fine, I will be good to you. But again, we see in Matthew chapter 6 in verses 25 through 34, where again, God is saying that, you know, he clothes the flowers of the field, he feeds the birds, and he's telling us why do you Christians, why do you followers of Christ worry so much? And we have in verses 31, 32, he comes to the point where he says, so don't worry saying, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Things that all of us worry about and ask ourselves about, right? He says, the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. So that's what the Gentiles, that's what the non-Christians, that's what the non-believers do. But then here's the key, he says, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. God already knows, brothers and sisters. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. He knows what you're facing. He knows what you're struggling with. And God, because he is good, and because he is our Father, and because he loves us, God wants to provide, even before we even know how to ask. Praise God for that. Amen? The second thing is God's provision teaches us to be generous. In verse 10, it says, you know, in verse 9, we see that Jesus prepared a breakfast for them. There's a fire going, there's fish, there's bread ready. But then in verse 10, he says, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. So why should we give to God when God can provide, right? Why should we give to God when God has already provided? And maybe the disciples were thinking the exact same thing. Maybe they were saying, but God, you already provided. The breakfast is already ready, right? And Jesus, if we need more, I've already seen you multiply fish and bread. I know you could do that, God. If we need more, why don't you just make more? Or maybe they were thinking, you know, plus you know how we struggled all night and we didn't catch anything for hours, right? We finally hauled in this catch and now you want us to bring these fish. And maybe they were asking themselves, you know, we struggled so hard to catch these fish. And maybe as they were asking themselves this question, they realized, but did we actually catch them? Did we actually catch the fish? And as they thought about it, they remembered that for hours, as they were attempting to catch the fish on their own, in their strength, in their wisdom, you know, the professional fishermen that they were, they knew the best spots, they knew the best time, they had the best nets, they had the best equipment, yet they weren't able to catch a thing. But at the word of the Lord, when they cast the net, when Jesus said to throw the net on the right side, that is when they caught the fish. So they probably realized, you know, we didn't catch anything, did we? Everything that we have is from the Lord. Everything that we have is from God. Jesus told us where to throw the net. Jesus brought the fish to us. And we have this amazing example, right, of Elijah and the widow in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 15. Elijah goes to this widow, right? And he sent by the Lord to this widow. And the Lord tells him, the widow will provide for you. When he meets the widow, he says, I'm hungry. Would you give me some water and make me some bread? And she says, you know, there's a famine in the land. All I have is a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. And I was actually just about to make this last piece of bread for me and my son. And after that, we were going to die. That's my plan. I have nothing beyond that. And Elijah, because the Lord told him this widow would provide for him, he says, you know, make me the bread first, because the Lord says, your flour will not end, your oil will not end. And she obeys. She obeys. She makes the food for Elijah, and true to the word of God, the flour does not end, the oil does not end, and they're able to eat for multiple days afterwards because of her obedience. And the principle here, brothers and sisters, is that God gives us so that we can give to others. God gives us the fish, but then he says, come, help feed your brothers, help feed your sisters. And I think another thing that I see in this is that, you know, some of us tend to undervalue what we can bring to the Lord. Maybe the disciples were thinking to themselves, not I don't want to give, but Jesus, you already have the breakfast ready. What difference could my fish make? You already provided. What can I actually bring to you, Lord? And there are many Christians who undervalue what they can bring to God. Many Christians who say to themselves, I can't sing like her, so I'm not going to sing at all. I can't preach like him, so I'm not going to preach at all. I'm not a prayer warrior like that person, so why even try? Why even bother? And I love you know, the passage where God is speaking to Moses in Exodus, and he says, Moses, what do you have? What do you have? I need you to go against the Egyptians, deliver my people Israel. And he says, what do you have? What can you bring? And Moses says, nothing. All I have is this shepherd's staff. All I have is a stick, Lord. And God says, that's enough. That's enough. That's good enough. With that shepherd's staff, with that stick, I will smite Egypt. With that shepherd's staff, I will deliver Israel. So brothers and sisters, never undervalue the gifts that God has given you. Never undervalue the blessing that you can be to your brothers and to your sisters, to your church, to your community. God gives so that we can give. God feeds so that we can feed others. Amen? Thirdly, God's provision covers even the smallest details. In verse 11, it says that they caught 153 fish. And maybe you're asking, why 153 fish? And I thought about this. If you take the digits, 153, and add them together, 1 plus 5 plus 3, you get 9. If you take the square root of 9 and multiply by 7, I'm kidding. I could see some of you guys getting worried, and some of you guys were pulling out your calculators to see if I did the math right. Is it symbolism? I don't know. People don't agree on why 153 fish exactly. But here's what I think. Here's what I think the Lord was showing me. God could have given them or had them catch 150 fish, right? A nice, even, round number. Or 100 fish or something like that. But God saw that they needed 153 fish. God provides exactly how much we need, brothers and sisters. Maybe the disciples were saying, God, Jesus, there's only 7 of us, right? We don't need 153 fish. A fish will do, you know, maybe 2, maybe Peter, you know, 3 or 4 or something. But that's more than enough, right? We don't need that much. And God was saying to them, I'm seeing needs arising for you and for your family and for your business that you're not even aware of. I'm looking at things coming against you that you can't even comprehend. I'm already providing what you need, exactly how much you need. You don't know. You're not even able to plan ahead. because you don't even know what you are going to face. But I'm providing for you not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for weeks and months and years ahead. God knows what we need. God knows when we need it. God knows the details, the small, unimportant, insignificant details of our lives. And God provides for those. He's not just the God of the big. He's not just the God of the major battles. He's the God who meets you there when it's just you and him. When it's just you in your prayer closet, when it's just you crying out to him, when it's you struggling with a test or with your relationship with your son or your daughter, or there's tension between you and your wife and you haven't been able to talk to anybody else about it. God knows, God cares, and God provides. Amen? And then the last thing is, God's provision surpasses human understanding. In the last part of verse 11, he says, even though there were so many, they caught 153 fish. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn, because the net should have torn. These were professional fishermen. The reason they included this in this passage is because their nets were not capable of hauling 153 large fish. As they were in the middle of hauling in the fish, they knew their nets should not have been able to withstand that kind of weight, that kind of pressure. There were too many fish. The fish were too big. But the Lord provides in ways that surpass our understanding, surpass our planning. Sometimes we go to the Lord and we say, Lord, here's what I'm facing. Here's what I'm struggling with. God, would you heal my son in this way? Or would you provide in this way? Or would you help my daughter in this way? Would you make the help come from this direction, Lord? Here's how I see the problem. Here's how I see the situation. Here's how I see, Lord, that you can help. Here's what makes sense to me, God. Would you bless this situation? Would you help out in this situation in this way? And a lot of times, brothers and sisters, the help comes in ways that we couldn't even imagine. We say, Lord, I can't make next month's rent. I can't pay next month's mortgage. Could you give me, to be able to cover that? And God provides in a different way. God opens the door to a new job so that you're able to provide, to pay, to take care of the things that you need on this earth. Or God speaks to a man in a different city who shows up and knocks at your door, as has happened to our family many, many times. And he says, the Lord said you need this. And there's an envelope. And there's a blessing and there's a gift and there's provision. Because God provides in ways that surpass human understanding. And the beautiful thing is that I think the Lord does this so that we know it's him. So that it's a reminder that he cares for us, that he loves us. It's one of the ways that we know it's God. The net should have torn. The net should have been broken. This catch should have been lost. But it was the Lord. And at the word of the Lord, we brought the catch in. We brought the fish in. The Lord provided. The Lord protected. The Lord was there for us. It couldn't have been anyone else but the Lord. So in conclusion for this morning, I want to remind you, I want to remind us that we don't have to convince God to be good. He's watching over you. He knows what you're going through. And he's already on the shore waiting for you, preparing, providing for you, for your family, for your children. God gives so that we can give. Everything that we have is from God. So let's be generous and bless those around us. Third, God knows exactly what you need, when you need it, how you need it, where you need it. He knows every detail. And then lastly, God provides because he loves us, and he loves to show us how much he loves us. May God bless you. Amen.